You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In the early years of the 20th century, two sisters from Baltimore, Etta Cohn and Dr. Claribel Cohn, began collecting the work of Matisse, Picasso, Cezanne, and other avant-gardists. They became friends with many of the artists, and their collection, which eventually grew to some 3,000 pieces, was bequeathed to the Baltimore Museum of Art. A special exhibition at the Jewish Museum called Collecting Matisse and Modern Masters, the Cohn Sisters of Baltimore, presents part of that collection, many of the works seen in New York City for the first time. It's on view at the Jewish Museum until September 25th, and I'm pleased to welcome the curator of the exhibit and author of the accompanying catalog, Karen Levitov, back to our show today. Hello.
Hi, Leonard. It's great to be back.
So who were the Cohn Sisters? What was their family like?
Well, their parents were immigrants from Germany. Both Hermann Kahn, it was originally K-A-H-N, and Helen Guggenheimer had come to the United States in the mid-19th century and had become successful in the wholesale grocery business. And the family moved to Baltimore the year Etta Cohn, who was the ninth of 13 children, was born in 1870 and were part of the German-Jewish community and social circle there.
Which, of course, was also a circle that Gertrude Stein would have participated in as one of the leading Jewish intellectuals in Baltimore.
Gertrude and her older brother Leo came to Baltimore in the late 1890s after the parents had passed away. They were in California and became part of the same social circle, and they became good friends with Claribel and Etta Cohn.
Is that the reason that the Cohn sisters went to France rather than to Germany, which also had a thriving new art scene?
Well, actually, Claribel's first trip to Europe was to Germany, and it was because her father had bribed her with a trip to Europe to try to convince her not to go to medical school. And she took him up on that trip, went to Germany, came home and went to medical school anyway, and was one of a handful of female physicians. But they
And why didn't her doctor want her to be – her father wanted her to be a doctor? I thought Jewish parent at that time wanted their kid to be a doctor.
Well, they probably wanted their sons to be doctors, and one of them was indeed a doctor. But for their daughters, they wanted a more traditional family and marriage.
Was she a practicing physician?
She was a pathologist and was taught and did research but did not have a clinical practice.
Was Etta college educated as well?
She graduated from high school, which was quite respectable at the time, and kind of became the manager of the family household and the caretaker of the aging parents, but she did not go to college.
So they met the Steins in Baltimore. Did they become friends?
They became close friends right away. They had an interest in music and literature and art. They went to galleries and concerts together. And the four siblings, Gertrude and Leo and Claribel and Etta, were very, very close. And actually, Claribel hosted a Saturday evening gathering in her home that the Baltimore newspaper said was the closest thing to a salon that Baltimore had ever had.
And that's before Gertrude started her own salons.
Exactly.
You have to wonder whether she wasn't influenced by
Claribel. She might have been inspired by Claribel's salon.
But then the Steins were in Paris when the Cohn sisters visited?
Etta Cohn made her first trip to Europe in 1901 when she was 30 years old. And Leo Stein met her in Italy first and took her around to all the Renaissance and classical sites and gave her an education, in an art education, really. And then they went to Paris, where Gertrude Stein was, and they went to the Louvre and went to galleries and started meeting the modern artists such as Picasso and Matisse.
Was there a particular event that got them started collecting?
I think that their interest in art started just by going around and going to shops and galleries and looking at Japanese prints. They started buying Japanese prints, and Etta wrote in her diary that she bought more than she intended, and she said, "I've got the fever bad and couldn't help it." So I think that started her passion for collecting art. So they met Picasso early on and started buying his work, which was only a few dollars at a time for a drawing. But it was probably the 1905 Salon d'Automne where they first saw Matisse's work and other of the artists that were then known as the Fauves, the wild beasts, that their collecting really took off.
Well, this is Picasso before the Cubist period.
Right.
And they never really got into Cubism, although they seemed to embrace the avant-garde rather seriously.
Exactly. They were in Europe for a good number of years before World War I, and then during the war, Claribel was actually in Germany doing research, and she stayed there during the war, and Etta came back home. And they didn't go back to Europe until 1922, so Picasso had basically gone through his Cubist phase and come back to more classical style by that point, so they kind of bypassed that Cubist phase in Picasso's work.
By the way, we have a slideshow on our show page, some of the works that were collected by the Coen sisters, but also some photographs of them with the people we're talking about. At this time, the Matisse and his circle, the Fauves, were considered rather radical. What was it like to collect those people? Did people think that they were doing something crazy? Were they just throwing their money away?
Probably they did think that. I think that the critics disparaged the Fauves, and Etta and Claribel even didn't know what to make of it right away. And Claribel wrote in her diary that, you know, she didn't understand these, these seemingly crude drawings and bold colors, but then I think they really gained a love for it. And I'm sure that back home, especially in Baltimore, which is a city known more for its industry than its culture at the time, that people were just completely amazed that some of the first people to bring this modern French art back home to the United States, and especially to Baltimore.
And especially Matisse, who they knew, but they were also buying some earlier things, Cezanne, Van Gogh.
In the 1920s, their brother's textile mills, the Coen mills, had become phenomenally successful, in part by supplying denim to the American troops during the war. And their two older brothers supported their two unmarried sisters, and that allowed them to devote themselves to traveling and to buying modern art. And they were able to buy modern masters, both by the contemporary avant-garde artists of their day, like Matisse and Picasso, but also by the previous generation of Impressionists and Post-Impressionists, and they bought fabulous works by Pizarro and Gauguin and Van Gogh and Renoir and others.
They bought a lot of textiles, lace, and Oriental prints. Do you think it's because of the fact that their father and brother were in the textile business, or because Matisse often used pattern fabrics in his composition, was obviously very influenced by Japanese art?
Both Matisse and the Coen sisters collected textiles from around the world, and I think both of them were interested in it, perhaps because of their family histories. Matisse's family was a family of weavers, and the Coens had their brother's textile mills, but the Coens never collected any American textiles, unlike their family cottons. But Matisse and the Coens collected them from around the world. And the Coen sisters had taken a trip around the world in 1907 and probably acquired a number of textiles as well as a taste for exotic objects from around the world during that time. And we have a number of these fabrics as well as decorative arts objects in the exhibition.
My guest is Karen Levitoff. We are talking about the exhibit at the Jewish Museum called Collecting Matisse and Modern Masters, the Coen Sisters of Baltimore, which will be on view at the museum until September 25th. As I said, the exhibit also includes archival materials, photographs of them, and they look like very proper ladies. Did they consider themselves bohemians?
I think they considered themselves proper ladies, and photographs of them, even in the 1920s, show them in long dresses and high collars, and when women this time were wearing knee-length dresses, and they considered themselves of, you know, an upper middle class background and very proper, and probably for that reason became better friends with Matisse, who also was considered himself a gentleman, rather than someone like Picasso, who is more of a bohemian, even though they were friends with Picasso and they bought over 100 of his works. It was really Matisse who became a lifelong friend.
And they bought more Matisses than any other American collectors.
That's right. They had over 500 Matisses. They had paintings and sculptures and works on paper and amassed one of the best and most extensive Matisse collections.
When you say one of the best, did they choose wisely or did they just simply buy what was available at the time?
They bought really amazing works, and they were buying not only what Matisse was producing at the moment, but they were very carefully selecting works, previous works as well. They bought an early work, an 1899 painting, well before the time that they knew him, but one of his early works. And then during their lifetime, they continued to go back and buy earlier works by the artists that they loved while they were continuing to buy contemporary works as well.
So you would say they were discerning collectors?
I would say they were discerning collectors, and I think that they had a very specific taste and an eye for a certain kind of work that caught their fancy, and they were really collecting to live with these works. They had adjoining apartments in Baltimore, and they covered them floor to ceiling with these wonderful works of arts and decorative arts objects.
And lived in Baltimore pretty much all their lives unmarried?
They did. They traveled frequently, especially to Paris, but also to Switzerland and Germany, but they lived in Baltimore and continued to send the art home there even when they were spending months at a time in Europe.
both Picasso and Matisse did portraits of the sisters. Of course, the more celebrated portrait is the one that Picasso did of Gertrude Stein. But what is his portrait of the Cones like?
Picasso made a portrait of Claribel Cone in 1922, and it was likely a commission, and it's a really beautiful, delicate line drawing done in a classical style, and he presents her with a book in her hand showing her intellectual side and her feet on a cushion, and he calls her the Empress, and she's very regal-looking.
She died in 1929. Etta outlived her by 20 years and continued to add to the collection?
Right. When Claribel passed away, she left her entire collection to Etta and said in her will that she hoped that if the spirit of appreciation for modern art in Baltimore improved, that she hoped that Etta would leave the collection to the Baltimore Museum. Well, Etta took that kind of as a mission, and for the next 20 years, she continued to add wonderful works to the collection, and now she had this idea that it would someday become a public collection. She kept Claribel's apartment, and she continued to put art in Claribel's apartment as well as her own as she built her collection.
Well, they lived in adjoining apartments in Baltimore, and I would think 3,000, no matter how big the apartments are, 3,000 works is a lot of art.
Well, the 3,000 includes jewelry and decorative arts objects. They had, you know, hundreds of Turkish tea towels and things like that as well.
And you only have a tiny portion of that collection in the exhibit at the Jewish Museum.
We have 50 paintings and sculptures and another 30 or so textiles and decorative arts objects.
And it's on view until September 25th. The Jewish Museum, in case listeners don't know, is at 1109 Fifth Avenue at 92nd Street, very close to the Guggenheim and not far uptown from the Metropolitan Museum. Will it be traveling to other venues after?
Yes, we're going to be traveling it to the Vancouver Art Gallery, and we're really lucky that the exhibition was co-organized with the Baltimore Museum and also with the Vancouver Art Gallery.
Well, if I go to the Baltimore after this thing returns, how much of the collection will I be able to see?
Once it returns to Baltimore...
Will this be the nucleus of the collection that will be put on view? Have you pretty much taken all the best work out for the show?
The exhibition represents highlights from the collection, and we have some of the most wonderful works from the collection on view. A couple of the other wonderful works are traveling in other exhibitions, but for the most part we have some of the real gems.
And do you have something else ready for us at the Jewish Museum after this?
Well, we're going to be opening an exhibition on Ezra Jack Keats, the children's book illustrator, in early September, and we have a Photo League exhibition coming up in November.
The Photo League, the controversial group of photographers that also had a very strong political point of view.
That's right.
I want to thank you so much for being with us again. Karen Levitoff was here to talk about the exhibit at the Jewish Museum now through the 25th of September, called Collecting Matisse and Modern Masters, the Cone Sisters of Baltimore. There's also accompanying catalog, and you can see a slideshow of some of the works and also some of the other archival material on our show page at wnyc.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Leonard.